Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your homeschool companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. So happy you're here spending this time with me. We're still talking about time, that wonderful gift God gives us all equally. There might be some that are endowed with more wealth, money, and resources, but we all have the same amount of time. And the title of today's selection is Evaluate Your Time. Our scripture is Ephesians 5:15-16. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. It has been said that a woman can do everything, wife, mother, friends, ministry, and career, but not all at the same time. Assess your current schedule. Knowing how you spend time can help you make wise future choices. Record all your minutes for 1 week. Figure out how much time is spent in each area of your life. Some activities may involve more than one area. So, for example, you would look at how much time you spend on household chores, as a spouse, in prayer and Bible study, as a wife, bored or doing nothing, working, career, time with children, relaxing, volunteering, watching TV, hospitality at home, sleeping, in a hobby. You get the idea of how many categories there might be for you. Would of course be different than for me or someone else. And then take these three steps to make wise choices about your time. 1, determine the urgency and necessity of the task. 2, prioritize the task in group-like chores. And 3, simplify, eliminate the unimportant, non-urgent. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. Well, we have some prayer requests, and I'll say them in my prayers. If you would pray with me, this prayer is for Crystal. Dear Lord, please help Crystal. She's in stage 4 with inflammatory breast cancer and has tumors all over her body. Her biggest battle, Lord, though, is depression, clinical depression. Please lift that cloud from her and help her to find a solution. And Lord, we pray for Beth. Beth is asking prayers for her mom, who is in ICU and dealing with that. And then Beth herself has a crisis, so we're praying for that. And then we're praying for John. He has COVID, and now his kidneys have shut down, so the doctors don't hold out much hope. Please be with John. Send your healing hand upon him, as the others that we have prayed for. And Lord, you know our unspoken prayer requests and the situations that all of us deal with. So please be a comfort to us, that our joy may not be diminished. Thank you so much for sending your Son to save us, and we look forward to your soon return. All this we pray in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! Arts and crafts. Well, we're going to start learning about amphibians and frogs. And so one of the things that I want my students to connect to is that we've already learned about the life cycle of a butterfly. Now we're going to learn about the life cycle of a frog or a toad. Toads are plentiful in the fall, and tadpoles not so much. But you can connect to those that have seen tadpoles. And on my Pinterest site, I was able to put a picture of a life cycle that someone had taken, but I'll tell you, I'm going to get most of my material from a site that I love called Super Teachers Worksheets. It's only $14 a year, and I use that quite often to get things that I would like to print out for my students, and I just don't want to reinvent the wheel. And they have a whole big section on amphibians and frogs. So I highly recommend that. we have been finding our toad. We always seem to find this one little toad that gets handled throughout the fall, and we're so happy he's back again. And I think that connecting with nature right now is so important, because you can be outside and getting some fresh air. And whether you have a big class or a little class or whatever age group you have, you can easily adapt it for learning about amphibians. So have fun learning. Curriculum Corner. Well, we're going to discuss a little bit about the subject of reading. And I think that you're blessed if you have a child that practically teaches themselves to read. They might be a sight reader and just have that phenomenal ability to remember the word. And a lot of sight readers aren't that good at spelling because phonics just didn't work for them. One of the things that I use for my emergent readers is a series of books that I wrote and my daughter wrote also with me. And we are putting them in my Pinterest site once we can figure out. The titles are Baby Moses, Queen Esther, King Joash, King David, Bill's Lunch, The Birthday Party. Very simple books, and they have the basic sight words in the back that your child needs to learn. The other thing that I have gotten into is the Orton-Gillingham for Dyslexia Children, and it really breaks down learning about the vowels and the consonants, and seeing a consonant represents it by C and a vowel representing it by A, and helping the child to really get strategies for decoding the words. The particular curriculum I'm using, I just went on Amazon and I bought it. It's called Blast Off to Reading. The neat thing about this book is that it also has some games. If you purchase the book, it cost me $14.95. If you purchase the book, then you have access to their online games. And so there's the first two great games we're learning is just a memory game for those words like why. Of those sight words that don't necessarily fit into the phonetical strategies that we're teaching, but that they still need to know. So for reading, that is what I would recommend. And that concludes our Curriculum Corner on reading. Questions parents ask. It's kind of appropriate that Rebecca would ask this question. She says that she's losing her mind. This is Rebecca speaking. I need advice. I know all kids are different and learn differently, but it's hard trying not to compare. When the first kid I taught was so easy, I'm struggling teaching my daughter how to read. Since my older son basically taught himself how to read at the age of 4, I have no real concept of what normal is. My daughter is 6 in the first grade, and reading just isn't her favorite thing to do. She will sound out the first letter of the word, then assume the rest of the word is, whatever word that comes to her mind, or she will read a digraph in the middle of the word and then assume that the whole different word is that, then assume it a whole different word altogether. For example, the word Tasha. She said, it's too hard. I can't, then tries to read she. And then the word then, she insists the word is the. So this homeschooling mom says, I'm crying right along with my daughter. I've tried many different books on teaching reading. She totally knows all the letters, sounds, and basic digraphs. But when it comes time to read, it's too hard and she wants me to read everything. I'm losing my marbles. Please give advice, suggestions, anything help me. Well, she probably might be dyslexic, which just means that she can't see it on that paper, that they're moving or they're changing colors or they're flashing. And 6, I would be thrilled if some of my dyslexic students could read at the age of 6. The truth of the matter is that my dyslexic students don't really start reading till they're in the 6th grade. And I get a lot of credit for the fact that in the 6th grade, all of a sudden they seem to be reading well and on grade level. In the meantime, I tell parents, relax, because if it is scotopic sensitivity or dyslexia, it just takes time and patience. And 6 is pretty young. So it would be better for you to back off, maybe get that book that I mentioned in the curriculum corner called Blast Off to Reading and just slowly go through that and don't make such a big deal with reading the books. The other thing that I do is I have my dyslexic children in RAS Kids, and that's a technology. You might not want that, but get simple books, like get the books that I'm going to put on Pinterest here and have her just read simple books. The kids that have struggles with reading tend to love those books. I had a sixth grader, one of my dyslexic students, put in the paper about himself that his favorite book was Baby Moses, which was a book that I started him reading many years ago. And he still remembers that book as his favorite book, and he's now in the sixth grade. And of course, it's very easy for him to read it now. But it's his favorite book because it was a successful book. He could read it. He could enjoy it. I had the parents actually have him take it didn't have to necessarily be Baby Moses, but take it to bed and read it to themselves as their devotion. And they began to feel like, yeah, they could read, even if it was a simple book. So Tasha sounds like a hard word for a student, and I know they put those kinds of names in, but have courage, be positive, and yes, it's not uncommon for a six-year-old not to be able to read. That's my advice. Take it for whatever it's worth. So the second part of today's show, we're going to continue with an interview that we had with Dr. Thompson II and Coach Ronnie Gage. You've been listening to Homeschool Companion. You know, we'd love to hear from you. Be sure and like us on Facebook at Homeschool Companion, or partner with us. Send us a contribution or a show suggestion at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783, or call us at 301-824-3162. So the second part of today's show, we're going to continue with an interview that we had with Dr. Thompson II and Coach Ronnie Gage about a book titled The Life Coach, Small Town Lessons on Faith, Family, and Football. And you can go to the website 91kick.com. As you learned in our previous interview, this was a young man of 59 years of age who decided he wanted to finish his option of playing in college football. And so he had approached Coach Gage, and he still had the option to do it. So we left off with him learning how to kick and finding out that indeed with age you can't necessarily have the torso rotation that you had when you were younger. But that didn't stop you. So welcome to the show, and thank you for spending this time with us. I'm just looking at this book and thinking that there might be someone else out there at 59 or 60 years of age that would like to fulfill their option. But I can't help but think you in particular, it was Lord ordained, because you learned so much from this. So let's start out looking at the book, and I just have to ask your family, when you told your wife and your children that you were going to do this, what was their reaction?
Well, having spent the last 8 years going to school, I went back to college at the age of 40, and then finished to when I got my doctorate in 53. I was 53, and so when I came to her with the notion of going back to college, And she said, "What for?" and I had told her that I was looking to write a book, because that was really the reason I was doing this, was to write a book to encourage people about their fitness. It wasn't about me playing football, per se. And so as soon as she knew it was a book project, she said, "Okay." And I won't do anything unless we're in agreement with stuff. But anyhow, she said, "Go for it." And so we did. And then I think the main thing is, what did Coach's family think? Not just the team and everything else, because really this book is his memoir of his life and the lessons he learned going through it. And I'm sure I might have ranked at the in the trial portion, but at the end of it all, I have to say, and I think he'll agree with me, at least he probably has to do that since we're in public, is that it was a match made in heaven. And if God hadn't been behind it, like Coach has said, we wouldn't be here together.
So I want to talk a little bit about the lessons per se, but then don't let me forget to get back to the story. We just got to the point at the last interview where you were learning to kick, and so we want to get back to that. But let's start with coaching your own kids. So how did you learn that lesson, or why is that such an important lesson?
Well, it's really an honor to be able to coach your own kids. I mean, number one, to be a coach and know that my son came up through my program, I got to watch him grow, I got to watch him develop. He wasn't a great athlete, but he was a fierce competitor. You see a lot of the traits through your kids that you hope you do anyway, that you've taught along the way. But then the other hand is, on Friday nights, and I'm speaking mostly about my son right now and coaching him in football, it's hard. It's hard on him because whatever he does, he was either shown favoritism or he doesn't belong.
Yes.
You take your poison, and when he makes a mistake, that's what you hear. And so it's hard. It was harder on him probably than it was me. And then when something went wrong, you don't know whether to grab him and shake him,
yeah,
or hug him and love him, and because you feel for him.
You feel like you can't defend him.
No, you've got to coach him. And,
yeah,
and my son was good. We coached. I coached him just like I did the rest of them. My daughter, she was involved in sports, and I didn't know a thing about volleyball. My wife laughs about this, but I'd go to her volleyball games, and I'd sit up in the stands just like the parents do, and I started coaching the heck out of volleyball. And my daughter would look up there like, "Is that Dad?" And, I had a whole new perspective on parenting and coaching kids. And But it is hard, but it's also rewarding to watch them grow and develop and become a competitor and also be a factor in the game of life.
I suppose in some ways it's an analogy of God, coaching us, and
you hope a lot of that rubs off.
Yeah.
And I tell people with my kids, and especially after those experiences, but after losing the daughter, you can't love, you can't hug, you can't kiss your kids enough. And that's just something you need to always remember to do.
So in the chapter called The Pain No Parent Should Know, is that the story of losing your daughter?
Yes, ma'am. She would have been 38 years old today.
Wow.
It was her birthday. And
I always keep tissue around here. My listeners know that I just get choked up at the stories I hear.
A gentleman told me one time that it's as much grief as we're going through, there'll come a time where the good memories will take over. And Stephanie and I were talking about this the other day. We can talk about her now. We can tell stories now. We can smile. We can laugh. And every time her name's brought up, all I think about is that big smile. And that's what gets me through the day. But it was extremely hard. I was angry with God for a long time. It took me some time to understand and realize that he went through a lot of sacrifices himself.
Yeah.
And that's the reason we can feel good about her death today. And So, and my wife helped me with that. She reminded me we still had two kids that needed us, and they were hurting too, and we had to move forward. And so you learn to live with it.
Yes.
But she was a beautiful young lady. She's the inspiration for me behind the book, and the book, of course, is dedicated to Jess.
Yeah, I think that people sometimes listening to an interview of an author, you know, they get the sense, oh, they have it much better than I do, or, you know, their life was perfect. And so when you share these hurts and losses, it really is the bridge that we all can walk on, knowing that as long as we're on this earth, this is what we can expect. And coaching through the good and the bad is a huge thing. So I could keep talking about your book. I hope everyone will go and look it up. You can go to 91kick.com. I'm talking with Tom Thompson and Coach Ronnie Gage. Now, Tom, you have to share about where the kicking actually led you in the game with the team.
Well, I'm probably as proud of this situation as I am anything else, because again, Coach Gage is the kind of coach that he would never have put me in the game as a mercy event.
Yes.
He had to know that I would help the team and that I could do it. And it was the last game of the season, the last chance, and we were playing our biggest rival. And I got put in the early second quarter to tie the game. It wasn't that we were either getting beat bad or beating somebody else bad. I mean, I had a role to play. So people have asked, well, what were you thinking when you went out there? And I honestly wasn't thinking about anything except doing what I was coached to do. And I didn't think about, you know, what was all was going on. It was like white noise.
Yeah.
And then when the ball came back, it was sideways on the ground as I was in mid-kick. And I thought to myself, in a nanosecond, I've come this far. I'm going to kick that ball no matter what. And he was able to pop the ball back up at the last second, and it went through. Coach likes to say it was barely, and I give him that only because it was barely with regard to the upright, but it was midway through that goalpost. So, but anyhow, you'd have thought we won the conference after that ball went through the – don't you remember, Coach? It was just people yelling and screaming, and it was just – it was great. But, you know, we talk – Coach and I talk about this, and it's – all of the kick was just to start our relationship.
Yes.
It wasn't – that wasn't really anything but preparation.
Yes.
And I had mentioned to Coach in a parking lot after the season that – I thought we were going to do a bunch of stuff together, and Coach, you know, in an obligation way, sort of nodded, but, you know, here we are.
Yes. And God is good, because
yeah,
everything is an analogy. I mean, I can see even when you're going out to do that job where you have to focus. I mean, we have to focus over and over again in life. Otherwise, there's so much noise and so much distraction. So this is a great book. The Life Coach, Small Town Lessons on Faith, Family, and Football. Co-authored by Dr. Thompson and Coach Ronnie Gage. Thank you so much for spending this time with us. It
Thank
went
you.
By way too fast.
Yeah, it did.
I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.